All right, we're back together, and we're going to just continue our conversation on the goodness of God. And today we're really going to hone in on creation, how all creation is a reflection of the goodness of God and all that He's poured into this place that we inhabit and in which we dwell.
Yeah, his creation is so astounding. It's simply amazing, and it speaks to us. We know He exists, because how could it not be so? So, it's an expression of His power. It's an expression of His goodness, because everything He created was good, and He meant it for good, and He purposed it. So, it's marvelous. And it's God. It's godly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole purpose of creation, ourselves included, I think, is to glorify God, to be representations of His grace, and to be representations of people who live under His authority, that are reflections of His faithfulness. Everything that He has created, it is a testament to His faithfulness. The mountains, the seas, the birds, the flowers of the fields, they are testaments of the faithfulness of God. And so the question which we're going to work toward is, are we, as far as humans, are we testaments, witnesses to God's faithfulness? Do we respond to God's creation in a way that glorifies Him? Because I think that was the purpose God created us for.
Yeah, His creation is purposeful. From the beginning, there was an end in mind. So we are part of the fulfillment of that purpose. We're meant to be the fulfillment of His purpose. And it's grand. It's a grand thing to think about, that he gifted this to us. I mean, we have so many gifts through creation. We have the breath of life. We have all things that we need to live and survive and thrive. All that, even to the animals in creation. All things created, there are systems and means of survival and procreation, development, growth, and we have those things ourselves. We've been given dominance in the creation, so it's a humbling thing.
It is.
It's something that we should really look at and think about and strive to fulfill our purpose and seek God. The creation should make us want to seek Him out, draw nearer to Him.
Yeah, it's amazing how much declares the handiwork and the wisdom of God. The further we push out into, what we at one time thought was the great abyss, the nothingness, out into further and further out into the universe, it just declares the wisdom and the work of God, His handiwork in creating so much that's out there and unexplored that He has created. It is humbling. And I think the proper attitude, or maybe the proper disposition before God when we encounter His handiwork and when we're amazed by His wisdom, is a heart of thankfulness, a heart of gratitude. 'Cause it is amazing and incredible that He has put us here and given us dominion over this creation. that he's given us
a
pretty important position within his created world.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that scripture says that he seeks people. He seeks people out to draw near to him. I think he reaches out to draw people near to him if we're open to that. We're just not left to our own devices. I mean, well, mankind has rebelled and he has handed mankind over to their own devices, but he's always mindful and he loves us and he wants us to return to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're taking me to Romans chapter 1. Just the way you're talking about all of these things in creation that are meant to draw us closer to him, to draw us before him. What can be known about God is plain to us because God has shown it to us. His invisible attributes, namely, or like especially in consideration, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So we are without excuse. We have all witnessed the incredible wisdom and power of God as we stand in awe at creation, whether it's the oceans or the Grand Canyon or the mountains in Switzerland, you know, whatever it is that we find ourselves before and just kind of in awe of, it should be drawing us closer to God. Mm-hmm. It is a way in which he is pulling us toward himself, that there is somebody behind all of this that we stand in awe of. And it's a God that we should even more stand in awe of.
Yeah, you know, creation, I mean, it's practically infinite. We can find God in so many things, everything from the big mountain regions that we might look across, or the minutest flower and the workings of the systems of life, the water cycle, the movement of the planets, the orbit around the sun and the sun's movement in the universe. It's infinite, and we see his greatness is, to me, I just need to draw near to him. And to think also that we mentioned that he wants us back. We rebelled and he wants us back. Well, it's interesting that his son Jesus became part of the creation, part of humanity, with the purpose, which was, by the way, part of his wisdom from the beginning, the purpose of drawing us back to him. And Jesus, he was given life and to bestow upon us. I mean, eternal life is what I'm talking about. We have life here on earth, and we will pass away. But he extends to us an eternal life that he's reached down on behalf of the Father to bestow upon us. So this creation, it includes hope for eternal life.
I like that you brought up, you know, from the smallest things to the biggest things, there is an imprint of God's power and wisdom. And there's a book that I recently read, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made in the Image of God, is what it's called. Philip Yancey, and I don't remember the doctor's name he wrote it with, but he brings up this doctor who worked in leprosy camps in India, brings up that the design of the universe and the design of a single cell, like the smallest unit of life that we really know, they, under the microscope, the single human cell looks almost indistinguishable from the universe. And so how God was able to pack all that into the smallest thing that makes up every one of us. And not only that, he was willing to take that on to really draw us towards himself. He took on that makeup in order to show how much he was willing to give for this creation, for this special thing that he loves and wants to redeem.
Wasn't it a great humility on the part of Christ to lower himself into this finite realm in order to interact with humanity, in order to draw humanity back to him, to the Father, and to the God of all things. It's so amazing the expanse of the universe, and then the minute universe of the microscopic world. It is just all astound. It's just all awesome. And he is a God who blesses. That's amazing. The God who created all these things, the astounding God, is a God who loves, a God who is a blessing, a God who gives gifts to us,
mm-hmm.
who bestows things to us, who supports, who wants to love and support us, if we will look honestly at everything and open up beyond our little selves to all that is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Even his wisdom, his wisdom for giving life eternal. What a great blessing.
It is. I mean, just all the blessings that we have interacted with, that have been given to us in order to draw us toward him, to point us toward the person behind all the blessings that we cherish and that we love. Just thinking through the things that I like to capture, as far as the memories and the moments that I want to hold on to and be able to go back in time to relive those moments and those experiences. I think this is true for me. I think it's probably true for a lot of people, but you know, the things that we capture and that we save on our phones, in our albums, on our phones, the three things that make up the majority of those moments are experiences with creation, experiences with other people that I love, pictures and moments and videos of other people that I love, pictures and moments of the creation, like landscape that I want to hold on to, just scenes and pictures that I have from Gatlinburg and Panama, like the country Panama, and I mean, even my backyard, you know, like just these moments that it just kind of amazes me, and I want to capture it, and I want to be able to go back and see it again. But also the God's created animals, and one thing I like to do is take pictures of the animals that happen to find their way in our yard. Since we live by an arboretum, we have a lot of wildlife that finds its way into our yard. And so I have a lot of pictures of animals, of the deer that found their way in our yard, foxes, possums, you know, just whatever it is. But I think that makes up most of my camera roll on my phone, those pictures, those moments. And, you know, just to take the time, you know, because now I have a cell phone. I can just like hold it in and transfer it to the new phone when I get it. But especially thinking to previous generations, people who took time to take a picture and then go develop it and then put it in this special place in their home so they can show other people and relive those moments. The moments behind all these created things have to point us towards somebody. It has to point us toward the God who has given us these blessings and given us these moments and these experiences that we cherish so much.
Yeah, you talked about the photos, and I lived in the day of the photo album where you can capture holidays, like for like opening Christmas presents. You can capture birthdays, and you can look back and recall those things. It's a tool that we can use to move beyond shallowness, to open up, to remember things, to remember happiness, joy, to touch the love that we had back in a certain time. And like you said, those things are God's gifts. That's part of what we were created to be. We were given rational thinking. We were given emotion. We've been given impressions. And you're talking about all the impressions that you capture. It's all a miracle. It's all God's miracle. And to me, it points to what not only creation gives us, but what people give each other. The influence that we touch upon when we see these photos was real. It was from people that mattered. And the love that we felt, for instance, from a grandparent who maybe had, my grandparents who have all passed, the love that I felt, for instance, from them, to me, that was a reflection of God's love. It was an example of God's wondrous, blessed love for me. I experienced it through the great love and kindness and sweetness of my parents and grandparents. They wouldn't have known about this unless they had been given that love themselves. Mm-hmm. So we, in essence, we are taking the things that we've been impressed with, and we are being an impression on others. Like you, maybe with your young son, he'll remember things that you impressed upon him, because things, you are a memory. You become a memory for someone else, as others have become a memory for you.
Yeah, I'm glad you took us there, because I think that might be more important than the memories and the moments that we cherish, is finding ways to show others the love of God and allowing ourselves to be memories and moments for other people, mm-hmm. where they've had encounters with the way the love of God has transformed us. Mm-hmm. And so that might be more special than the memories we hold on to ourselves as being that for another person.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't be shallow with life. We must be grateful. We must have appreciation for it. It because it is a total gift. We can't take that for granted.
Yeah, and just standing in awe of whatever it is in creation that causes us to just marvel and wonder, whether it is children or parents or the beach scene or the snow-top mountain or the bald eagle, you know, like I think they're pretty incredible to see those out in the wild. But whatever it is that causes us to just be thankful that we had that experience. I think that is, in a sense, kind of a prayer to God, even if it's not a real formal folding of the hands down on the knees, but just having that heart of being thankful to the God who created it and allowed you to be before it. I think it's...
Yeah, and we are learning to relate to God.
Yes, yes.
And in that relationship, we learn to emote toward others. We learn to express His goodness toward others. And it's really a cascading effect, I think. If we allow His power, and it is His power working through us, if we allow that to work in and through us.
Yeah, and that I think sets us up perfectly for where we're going in our next conversations. What it means to be a human here in this world, and then what it looks like to be someone transformed by the love of God. How that love of God is developing us to be people who are more loving towards mm-hmm. our brothers and sisters in Christ and towards whoever the neighbor is we find ourselves next to outside of our church gathering. So I think that's perfectly taken us where we're headed.
Amen.